Turn, if you would, please, to the book of 2 Chronicles, chapter 8. 2 Chronicles, chapter 8. The message today is a topical message. The verse that I'm asking you to turn to will be our beginning verse, and there will be a number of other verses that we'll be looking at a little later on. And so, 2 Chronicles, chapter 8. I would like to read verse 14. And he appointed, according to the order of David his father, the courses of the priests to their service, and the Levites to their charges, to praise and minister before the priests, as the duty of every day required. The porters also by their courses at every gate, for so had David the man of God commanded. By way of introduction to the message today, I have a question for those of you who are married. Is there a time when you are not married? That is, now that you're married, can you choose to act as if you are not married? Can you date other people? Flirt freely? Come and go as you please? Be married, say, only on the weekends? Would that be good for your relationship? Would your actions correspond to your position? Consider, therefore, the act of participation in the lifestyle of Christianity. I've had more than one unbeliever tell me that they knew someone who was a Christian on Sunday but lived like the devil the rest of the week. Is that really possible? Or should it be? Our society divides the secular from the religious. But for the Christian, can that be done? Or is it a fact that a Christian is a Christian regardless of his or her job? Is it true that Christianity is not something we do on occasion, rather it is a lifestyle? Is Christianity a thing which is to be done on Sundays and the rest of the week is free game? For many years I have heard the acronym SMO. That means Sunday morning only. It refers to people who only attend church at that time. And I realize for some people, circumstances are such wherein they can only attend at that time. But take that thought just a step further. Can you be a CSO? What would that mean? That is, Christians on Sunday only. Can you be a CSO? It is my objective to remind all who profess to be Christian that Christianity is a lifestyle. It is every day, 24/7. As Christians, we are Christian, whether we act like it or not. We therefore are to live like a Christian, whether or not we attend church all the services. We are to live like a Christian at work, at home, at play, in church, out of church, or on vacation. It should never be said of us that they are so pious and holy on Sunday, but then live like the devil the rest of the week. My dear friends, I just simply want to remind you that Christianity is a daily Christianity. Those last two words are the title of my message, Daily Christianity. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the day. Thank you for the privilege of being in your house. And thank you for those who are here. We ask that you would speak your word to our hearts. And Lord, encourage us through it. Move by your spirit. And Lord, strengthen your people today. Cause us to worship you in spirit and in truth. And we do ask in behalf of those who may be in our midst who are lost, that you would convict them of their sin and draw them unto Jesus. And Lord, we pray that they might be saved today. So we commit these things to you. And Lord, we love you, we honor you, we praise you. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. From 2 Chronicles chapter 8, verse 14, I springboard with the idea that Christianity is a daily Christianity. I want to give you just a few introductory thoughts from the fact that I have chosen this verse. Here in 2 Chronicles chapter 8, verse 14, if you'll look right in the middle of that verse, you're going to see a phrase, and I'm going to mention that phrase to you in just a second. Our reading speaks of Solomon's commitment to the temple services. And according to the laws of Moses and the commandment of David, the priests and the Levites had a religious duty. They had responsibilities. They had an obligation to serve every day. That phrase in the middle of that verse says, as the duty of every day required. And that gives us the thought then of every day. as servants of the Lord, as priests and laborers, they could not pick and choose when they were to be servants, or on what days they might obey and on what days that they might not. Now, I want to remind you, dear friend, that as a Christian, Revelation chapter 1, verse 6, Revelation chapter 5, verse 10, tells us that we are kings and priests. Do you know that as a believer, you're a priest of God? Now, I don't use it in the same sense as our generation might use it, and we think of, well, that person's a priest or so forth. But you're considered spiritual priests. So make that application. Think back to what we just mentioned here, that these priests and their laborers were to be every day as was required. We as priests of the Lord Jesus Christ in a spiritual sense have a labor, a duty as every day requires. You know, who it is who we are. It is how we should live. Christianity is a lifestyle. It is every day. It's just not on Sundays. That's the intent. That's the expression that we find, and that I want to make application from our reading in 2 Chronicles chapter 8. I want to read to you Acts chapter 2, verse 46, talking about the early church. It says, "And they continuing daily with one accord in the temple, and breaking bread from house to house, did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart." Now, I'm not advocating that we're going to have church every day, or even two or three times a day. We can if we wish. The Scripture says that we ought to gather together more as we see the day of Christ approaching. I'm not advocating that, but what I am advocating is that every day, as a Christian, you're still a Christian. Whether you're at work or wherever you're at, you're still a Christian. So we have the responsibility, the obligation to live a Christian life every day and not just one day a week. That's the intent. And so really my message from this introduction encompasses two thoughts. One is the implications of a sporadic Christianity, and that's how I define it. We're going to discuss that for just a few moments. And then I want to give you some indicators of a daily Christianity. So if you might have some questions about, well, I don't know that that's really true, that Christianity is a lifestyle and that it's every day, I want to give you some indicators that point to the fact that it is, and that I am telling you the truth. First of all, however, I want to mention the implications of a sporadic Christianity. Number one, if you do not eat meat or drink of the milk of the Word, you will become emaciated spiritually. Does that only make sense? You got the meat of the Word and the milk of the Word. If you despise and neglect or ignore the milk and the meat of the Word of God, you know what will happen? You will become emaciated spiritually. What would happen if you only ate on one day a week? You're just going to pick a day and say, I'm going to only eat physically food one day a week. And so out of 7 days, you eat one day. What would happen to you? What would happen to your physical frame? Would you not become emaciated? There would be no strength, would there? Things that need to be done, you have not the strength to do it. I mean, you might right away, but over a period of time, you'll get weaker and weaker and weaker. You'll have no energy. You just don't have the energy. You have no drive. The get up and go has got up and went. And that's exactly what will happen if you stop eating. But you know, in a spiritual sense, my friend, if you choose to only eat, as it were, once a week, if that, that you ever open up the Word of God and read the Word of God and look on the Word and let the milk and the meat of the Word speak to you, if you only eat every once in a while, do you know what's going to happen spiritually? You're going to start to dry up. You're going to become weak. You're going to have no energy in a spiritual sense. You'll have no drive spiritually. That's what will happen. Number two, if you do not communicate, your relationship will be strained. You say, well, I'm going to be a Christian one day a week, so therefore that's when I'm going to get my Bible reading in, and that's when I'm going to hear the Word of God. So I go to church, and that's when my Christianity is involved. That's when I also do my praying. If you're praying and your communication to God is relegated to one day a week, what's going to happen to you? It's going to strain your relationship, isn't it? What would happen if you didn't talk to your spouse for the week? You only talk to your spouse just one day a week. And that's you know, well, okay, you got your day, this is it. And then at the end of the day, that's over, you know, we're not talking anymore. What would happen to your relationship? It'll go down, won't it? Be ruined. And so I want to encourage you, dear friend, that if you have a sporadic Christianity, that, well, you know what, the Word of God doesn't mean much, and I don't spend much attention to it, pay much attention, I don't spend much time in it, then what, you're going to be weak spiritually. If you don't talk to God, you're not praying to the Lord, your relationship's going to be strained. Not from God's perspective. God didn't move. We're the ones that would be causing the strain. That will happen. Number three, have you ever stopped to think that if you do not consider His will, then you will do your own? If I don't consider God's will every day in the decisions that I make and the things that are before me, if I do not consider God's will, do my will. I'll do what I want. Isn't that just a practical, common sense idea? Sure it is. And so if those people are right that told me those things, well, they're a Christian on Sunday and live like the devil the rest of the week, what they're telling me is, well, on Sunday they plug in. On Sunday they're getting on board and they're living the Christian life on Sunday and they act that way and they project a pious life. But these people that work with them and know them day by day tells me that during the rest of the week they're not plugged in. They don't know. They don't care. They're not interested. They don't want God's will. If you do not desire God's will every day, you will end up doing your will. And so I want to encourage you, my friend, that's a negative thing. Don't do that. Don't have a sporadic Christianity. Number four, if you fail to give honor and praise, then you will fail in your purpose. Why did God save you? God saved you, dear Christian friend, so that you might give honor and glory to Him. That's it. That's our purpose, to honor and glorify our Lord. And if my Christianity is relegated to one day of a week, then what about the other six? Then I'm failing in my purpose. If I do not get up every day, and if I do not, during that day, honor God, praise God, talk to Him, let Him speak to me, if I don't honor Him through my life, then I'm not doing what God wants me to do. That's the result of a sporadic Christianity. And do you ever stop to consider that in the fifth place, that if you serve only one day, then you miss the opportunities that are available on the other six? I mean, you say, well, I'm only going to be a Christian one day a week. What about the other six? What about those opportunities that God grants you on those days to live for Him and to be what He would have you to be and to serve Him? What if those priests back there said, well, Solomon, I want to serve you and I'll be glad to serve the temple, but I only have one day and the other six are mine. And so you pick the day, Solomon. What would have happened? Solomon would have said, well, you're not going to serve as priest because I need you to serve as every day requires. And so we want to make sure that we don't have a sporadic Christianity. We want one that's consistent. We want one that will be available and so that we are able. Now, again, that doesn't mean that you have to be out 8 o'clock in the morning knocking on doors all day long. It doesn't mean that you have to stay in your Bible study 6 hours a day and praying for 4 hours a day and then witnessing for 10 hours a day. I'm not saying that. But do you realize that if we unplug Monday morning and plug back in on next Sunday morning, that we've just wasted an entire week for the Lord Jesus Christ? So I want to encourage you, do not have a sporadic Christianity. One more thing. If you do not consider and reflect upon the Lord, you will not be filled with the Holy Spirit. Now, Ephesians 5:18 tells us to be filled. We're commanded to be filled with the Spirit. And if I do not reflect upon the things of God 6 days a week, then there's no way I can be filled with the Spirit. Rather, what I'm going to be doing is quenching the Spirit or grieving the Holy Spirit if my Christianity is a sporadic Christianity. Let me sum it up this way. I have these statements. A sporadic Christian living expresses self-sufficiency and self-reliance. What we're saying is, God, I know You're important, but You're only important one day a week. So if I'm sporadic in my Christianity, in my Christian walk, what I'm saying is that, God, I can do it on my own. I don't need You on Monday. I don't need You on Wednesday. I don't need You on Thursday. I don't need to think about You. I don't need to pray to You. I don't need to read Your Word. I don't need to consider Your will. I have my time and I can do it without You. That's what a sporadic Christianity will do. It expresses self-sufficiency, self-reliance, that we can just make it without the Lord. It also demonstrates misplaced priorities. If my life and for the Lord Jesus Christ consists of only one day a week, then what about the other six? What about the rest of the time? Again, you don't have to plug in 24 hours a day to all the activities of the church. We're not saying that. But as a Christian, you're a Christian every day, all day, 24/7. And even when you do things like go on vacation or have family get-togethers like you did this past week, you know what? You can still have the mind of Christ, the Spirit of Christ, ask God to bless, ask Him to direct, so that you might make the right decisions and be the right kind of person, and so that you'll be enjoyable to be around. Amen? So it's a matter of misplaced priorities. If I put myself first all the days of the week except for one day, then I may be doing good on one, but I'm not doing very well on the others. Sporadic Christian living also exhibits inconsistency. And that's why the world picks up on that. If they know that if the people you work with know you go to church, and every Sunday you're faithful, you're in church, they know that, you might even go Wednesday night and all that, they know all about that. But then during your work day, you talk like the rest of them and act like the rest of them and do what everybody else does. You know what they see? They see inconsistency. They say, I don't understand that. You go to church on Sunday, but look at how you do this and look at how you do that. And you acted this way. We're not perfect. We'll all sin. But the idea is that if we're going to have a sporadic Christianity, it exhibits inconsistency. And the world picks up on that every time. They're very quick to assess that. Sporadic Christian living also implies hypocrisy. I didn't say it was hypocrisy, but it implies hypocrisy because it looks like, well, this is true to you and important to you on one day, but the rest of the time it really is not important. Christianity should always be important to us. We may not always make the right choices. We may not always do the right things, but it should always be important to us. The world will pick up on that hypocrisy. If we live like a pious, holy Christian on one day a week and live like the devil the rest of the week, they see it as hypocritical. They'll recognize it every time. Sporadic Christian living questions your level of love of commitment. Your level of love in your commitment. If I only talk to my wife one day a week, if I only spent time with her one day a week, now, I'm not talking about you have a job that carries you away. I'm talking about I have the opportunity to spend more time, but I just don't. Then what's going to happen? She's going to begin to think, he just really doesn't love me. He doesn't want to spend any time with me. He doesn't want to be around me. If we have a sporadic Christianity, you'd have to look in your heart and say, how much do I really love the Lord? You say, these things that you're speaking are very hard and very harsh and mean. We're not trying to be harsh. Trying to be nice about this. I'm just trying to present the truth that what can happen in a sporadic Christianity, those things are very negative and very hurtful, and the world sees every bit of it. As a matter of fact, the last summary statement I wanted to give you was that sporadic Christian living enables the world to criticize. I've not been perfect. You know that. You spend time with me any length of time at all, you know that I'm not perfect. But years ago when I used to work in a machine shop, one day, I don't know, the guy just did the wrong thing at the wrong time. I was walking out on the dock, and the guy tripped me from behind, you know, kicked my feet over, and something snapped in me, so don't ever do this to me. Something snapped. I turned around, threw the guy up against the wall, and had him by the throat. I'm not kidding you. I just said, don't ever do that again. I just went nuts. And the problem was, I've been having Bible study with a guy during lunch, going through the book of Romans. Do you know what that did to my testimony? Shut the door. Because one time, I let my guard down. One time. So we must be careful. It'll give the world an opportunity to criticize. Well, let's get to the positive things. Let's think about the indicators of a daily Christianity. Are there some indicators? I believe that there are. I want you to search your heart. I want God to search you. I want you to be open before the Lord today. Let the Holy Spirit speak to your heart. But I want to show you the indicators, the positive side, the corrective side of why we should consider that my Christianity is more than just one day a week. Turn, if you would, back to the book of Psalm and look at Psalm 68. The 68th Psalm. Just a few indicators of a daily Christianity. First of all, God blesses us daily. Psalm 68:19 says, "Blessed be the Lord who daily loadeth us with benefits, even the God of our salvation." You say, "I don't quite get this. What are you really trying to say by that?" God blesses us daily. He loads us with benefits daily. God considers us His children every day. Now, we might have some CSOs, and you might be one that says, "Well, I'm just a Christian on Sunday only." But if you're really a Christian, God doesn't view you as that. God views you as a Christian every day. And it doesn't matter where you are, where you work, or who you're with, God will always see you as a child of His, if you are indeed His child. And God blesses you every day, doesn't He? God loads us with benefits, the Scripture says. And so God pays attention to me. He directs His viewpoint toward me every day. That tells me, hey, you know, I am a Christian even on a day that I may not feel like living a Christian life. Go back to Psalm 145. Psalm 145. God not only blesses us every day, but just consider it from this perspective. Psalm 145, and this should motivate you if you say, "Well, why in the world should I do this?" Just for the fact that God blesses you every day. But Psalm 145, verse 2, tells us that we are to praise God every day. "Every day," the psalmist says, "will I bless thee, and I will praise thy name forever and ever." Every day. How often should a Christian praise the Lord, honor Him? Why wait till Sunday morning when we sing praises? I wait till we sing in the choir. I sing a special. That's when we praise God. My friend, you can't wait all that. God blesses you every day, doesn't He? Can't you every day give honor and glory to God? As a Christian, can't you find something in your life whereby you can praise the Lord? The psalmist says that he will do that every day. Psalm 61, I'm going to read verse 8 just as a reference verse. Psalm 61, 8, David said, "So will I sing praise unto thy name forever, that I may daily perform my vows." He wants to praise the Lord, and he's going to do it daily. Go to Psalm 86. Not only are we blessed every day, and so we should praise God every day, but number three, we are to pray on a daily basis. And I've heard stories of prayer warriors, and what an encouragement that is. I've heard of individuals who prayed on their knees so much that they actually wore grooves beside of their bed where their knees were there the whole time. That's commendable, certainly is. I just encourage you need to pray every day. And what we find is Psalm 86, verse 3, again a psalm of David. It says, "Be merciful unto me, O Lord, for I cry unto thee daily." Daily. Now, actually, the idea in the text is that he cries all the day long. I mean, God is always on his mind, always in his heart. So every day, he's thinking about the Lord. But over a few more chapters to Psalm 88 in verse 9, we have another statement very similar. Psalm 88, verse 9, he says, "Mine eye mourneth by reason of affliction. Lord, I have called daily upon thee. I have stretched out my hand unto thee." I encourage you to talk to God every day. Every day. When you get up, if that's your desire, begin talking to Him. "God, my day is before me, and you know what's going to happen this day, and I want this day to honor you. I want it to glorify you. Please direct my life and bless my family and bless this and bless that and heal these people." I mean, you can do however you wish, but I encourage you to communicate with the Lord every day. I encourage you to talk to God every day. Praise Him every day. Pray every day. You know, there's a contrast thought to this over in Psalm 10. I'm going to read to you verse 4. It says, "The wicked through the pride of his countenance will not seek after God. God is not in all his thoughts." God is not in all his thoughts. That's the wicked. What are we to be as God's people, as Christians? God is to be in our thoughts. He is to be before us all the time. We need to consider Him. We need to praise Him. We need to pray to Him. The world, they don't think about Him. So why should we as a Christian become satisfied with a one day a week Christianity? To say, "Well, I go to church on Sunday, and that's when I do my thing for God, but the rest of the week is mine." Then what you're saying is, okay, well, the other 6 days, you want to behave like the wicked because and God is not in all their thoughts. You just want to take them out of your mind and put them out. Oh, Christian, that's really not what you want to do, is it? In fact, I know if you're saved today, the Holy Spirit dwells in your heart. And the Holy Spirit is saying to you, you know what? That would be absolutely wrong just to give me one day. You know that. The Spirit tells you that. Go back to Proverbs chapter 8, if you would. So God blesses us every day, so we should pray every day, and we should praise every day. But then number 4, we are to seek the wisdom of God daily. Proverbs 8:34 says this, "Blessed is the man that heareth me, watching daily at my gates, waiting at the post of my doors." That's wisdom personified speaking. It's the wisdom of God. "Blessed is that man that hears me watching daily at my gates." I tell you, we need the wisdom of God. And we need that wisdom on a regular basis, don't we? Every day. Why? Because the world's tough, isn't it? Things are hard out there. And we have faced things every day. And sometimes we've seen it before. And sometimes it's brand new. We need the wisdom of God. I want to remind you as you think about these matters, and I'm going to look over into the book of Acts chapter 5, and this is my fifth point, an indicator of daily Christianity. I'm just referring back to the early church. Now again, keep it in the context of which I'm submitting this to you, but in Acts chapter 5 and in verse 42, the early church witnessed daily, and it says, "And daily in the temple and in every house, they ceased not to teach and preach Jesus Christ." That was their attitude. That was perspective. And that's what they did in the early days. Again, I'm not saying for you to quit your job and go out every day and teach and preach Jesus Christ from house to house. You certainly can do that. If God calls you to do it, do it. But what it is, it's a matter of, you know, I need to be on board with the Lord every day. Over in Acts chapter 19 and in verse 9, it says at the end of that text there that Paul disputed daily in the school of one Tyrannus. He was there every day arguing and convincing them that Jesus was the Christ. It's a matter of service every day. Is it possible for me as a Christian to walk out of here today after the service, unplugged from my Christianity, and say, "I don't need the Lord the rest of the week. I can do what I want, go where I want, talk however I want, think however I want, be with whoever I want to be with, and then next Saturday night at midnight I'll plug back in so I can be ready, so I can be in church on Sunday morning and have my Christian experience. Is that really what I can do? Is that really what I should do? If I profess a Christianity, then should my Christianity be that sporadic?" Well, I find that the indicators tell me that I can't unplug and that there is a need for me to seek the Lord and to pray and to praise and to witness and to serve, and as God gives me opportunity on those days to be what Jesus wants me to be. Do you know in Hebrews chapter 3, verse 13, I'm not going to look up at this text, but what we find in the sixth point is we are to exhort one another daily. That is to encourage one another and strengthen one another as God gives us opportunity. Don't you like Christian fellowship? Aren't you glad for those Christians that are around you, that help you, support you, encourage you? You can pick up the phone and call them and they've got a good word for you. Aren't you glad you can meet with God's people in God's house and get together and fellowship and talk about the things of God, and you can bear a burden or two and they'll say, "You know what? This is what happened to me. I'll share with you. And oh, by the way, I want you to know I'll be praying for you." My, what a blessing it is when we can exhort one another daily. But if we unplug, if we check out, if we clock out from the Christianity thing, then we're not interested in that. We're not concerned, and you know, we don't have anybody to turn to, and nobody's going to turn to us. And so we are to exhort one another daily. Turn, if you would, to the book of Luke chapter 9. This is number 7. Luke chapter 9. Just another indicator of daily Christianity. And boy, this is a strong one here. Luke chapter 9, and in verse 23, Jesus is teaching, and he says, "He said unto them all, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me." My friend, what should we do? We should deny ourselves. Take up the cross how often? Daily. And follow me. That's what Jesus said to do. What does that mean to me as a Christian? That means that every day Jesus expects me to take up my cross. Every day I am to submit to His leadership, to His direction, to His guidance. As a Christian, every day I'm to be dead to self. And you know, Paul made a similar statement in regard to this over in 1 Corinthians chapter 15 in verse 31 where he says, I die daily. Boy, that's a key right there. But if we say, well, I'm only going to die on Sunday and we're going to be alive to the world in the rest of the week, we're going to have some problems. And we already mentioned the implications of a sporadic Christianity. We don't want those negative things to come upon us. May we who name the name of Christ realize that, yes, I am a Christian. I'm a Christian every day. And Jesus told me that I needed to take up my cross daily and to follow after Him. And so may we respond to that. And so I submit unto you, I only gave you those eight things, but all of the indicators that I mentioned unto you point to a Christianity as being a lifestyle. It's just not something to be done on Sundays. It's just not a one day of a week deal. If you would, please turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. I've given you today just a basic introduction to tell you what I was doing and where I was going and hopefully why I was doing it. I've given you some implications on a sporadic Christianity. Any of us with any common sense at all can look around and make the same assessments and understand that these things are true. Whether it be in regard to ourselves or anybody else, a sporadic Christianity is a negative thing. But then I've given you some indicators on why Christianity is a daily Christianity. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, I'll arrive at that in just a moment, but I have a few questions. I want to give you a conclusion, and in conclusion, I ask you, do you have a mediocre Christianity? You just have to assess that. You know what the word mediocre means. So you just have to ask yourself, do I have a mediocre Christianity? Is my profession in Christ something that is sporadic? Is my Christianity second rate? Is my Christianity leftover? You have to make that assessment. I'm not condemning. I'm not judging. I'm asking you to search your own heart, to ask some hard questions, and say, God, what kind of Christian am I before you? Am I really just a one-day-a-week person? Is my Christianity sporadic? I just ask you to ask the hard questions, that's all. And my encouragement to you is this. Seven quick things. Number one, wake up every day with the realization of your relationship to God. Every day realize when you get up. Not only do I have life today, but I have eternal life. I'm a child of God. He is my God, and I am His. Every day, recognize there's a relationship with Christ. Number two, speak to Him every day and throughout the day. I remember in my younger years, the idea was, well, I've got to pray every day, so I pray at night right before I go to bed. What about the rest of the day? I tell you, there's a lot of things to pray about during the day, isn't there? So I encourage you, as you need help and you have affliction or trouble, or you just want to talk to God, you just talk to Him. Even when you're driving around the 240 racetrack, talk to the Lord. Don't close your eyes, though, but talk to the Lord, watching in prayer. But you better be praying when you get on the 240 racetrack. That's one dangerous place. But can't you talk to God? I encourage you to pray every day, throughout the day, as you sense the need to communicate. Isn't that what you do to your spouse and your children? Don't you talk to them every day? Communicate every day? Well, why ignore God? So every day, get up with the idea and the realization that you have a relationship with God. Get up every day and begin to speak to the Lord and speak to Him throughout the day. And I encourage you, as much as you're able to do it, read your Word every day. Read the Bible every day. I know some days you might get too busy, you might quit, you might miss it. Things are just happening and you just don't get around to it. I understand all that. But make it a regular practice to get up and read your Bible. If you read at night, read at noon, wherever, just read your Bible sometime during the day. Oh, bless your heart, it really will. It'll make a difference. Not only do you communicate with God, but God communicates with you. Number four, seek His will for your life and everything, every day, all day long. Ask God, God, is this what you want me to do? Is this how you want me to be? Is this how I ought to act? God, lead, guide, and direct me. What is your will in my life? And then be obedient to that will. That's what I encourage you to do every day. Make that a part of your life. And then number six, live your life according to who you are. Live your life according to who you are. You're a Christian. Then live as a Christian. Live every day like a Christian. Christianity is a lifestyle. So cultivate that relationship with Christ. Cultivate it. Every day, all day long, cultivate that relationship. I ask you to turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. Just a few verse references and I'm done. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Keep that thought in mind. Turn to Romans chapter 14. Do you realize as a child of God today, I mean, you believe you're saved, you believe there was a time in your life that God came to you, convicted you of your sin, and you were burdened. God worked in your heart, and God brought you to the place where you repented and believed on the Lord Jesus Christ. You have eternal life, and you believe you're saved. Do you realize that God wrought a change in your life back at that time that will be different, that you're different all the rest of your life? You're a new creature in Christ Jesus. Can that be undone? It cannot. You're a Christian. I mean, if you were truly born again, you are a Christian. And you're a Christian on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. Every day of the week, every week of the year, every year, all of your life, and even for eternity, you're His child. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Romans chapter 14, where I've asked you to turn, the Scripture says, for whether we live unto the Lord. Whether we die unto the Lord. Whether we live, therefore, or die, we are the Lord's. Simply saying, all the time, every day, we are Christ. It's a daily Christianity, isn't it? Go back to chapter 13, book of Romans. Look at verse 12. Paul is encouraging the Roman readers, and he says, the night is far spent. The day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness. Let us put on the armor of the light, on armor of light only on Sundays. It doesn't say that, does it? It says, put off the works of darkness. Put on the armor of light. When? All the time. Let us walk honestly as in the day, not in rioting and drunkenness, not in chambering and wantonness, not in strife and envying, but put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. When? All the time. All the time. One last reference, Titus chapter 2. Please turn there. Titus chapter 2. I trust that the indicators have been sufficient for you to remind you as a Christian that your Christianity is a daily Christianity, not just something that happens once a week. I pray that these thoughts I've given you, the encouragements, will motivate you to recognize that you're a Christian every day of the week. And I pray that these verses have done the same. Titus chapter 2, verse 11. For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching us that, denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. Do I really have to ask how often? Notice what it says in verse 13. Looking for the blessed hope and glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave Himself for us that He might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto Himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. That's not limited to a single day, is it? Isn't that every day? Isn't that all day? Christianity is a lifestyle. But before I stop, I really do have to ask, are you a Christian? Are you a Christian? The entire time today I've spoken to Christians about living a Christian life on a daily basis, 24/7. It's a lifestyle. You got the message. But you may be here and say, Well, that's nice, but that doesn't pertain to me because I'm not a Christian. Then I want you to know that Jesus Christ, God's Son, left heaven nearly 2,000 years ago, came to earth to become a man. Why did he do that? He did it for sinners. And all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. So, lost person, you're a sinner. And the wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. And so Jesus left heaven, came to earth to die on a cross so that you might have eternal life. You might be forgiven of your sin. And if the Holy Spirit moves in your heart, convicts you of your sin, draws you to Jesus, I want you to know that you repent, believe on the Lord, you'll have eternal life. You can have forgiveness of sins today. You can become a Christian. And you might be saying in your heart and mind, well, I don't know, all that you said kind of scares me. I don't think I want to be a Christian. Well, I can't be a Christian every day in my own power. God is the one that saved me. God is the one that made a difference in me. God is the one that gave me, made me a new creature. He is the one that will give me the grace that I need every day to live for Him. I need to yield to Him. I need to surrender. I need to be like Paul. I die daily. But don't let that scare you. Don't go, oh, well, that kind of scares me. No, you better be scared of hell is what you ought to be scared of. And hell's eternal. So may God convict you of your sin, draw you to Jesus, that you might be saved today. Would you be? Christian, would you realize who you are and whose you are and that you'll live for Jesus? I pray that you will. Let's stand, and I'm going to ask you to turn to number 438. Number 438, and I pray that the words that have been spoken today, that you'll look beyond the messenger and consider the message and let God speak to your heart. If you're lost, we point you to Jesus, the mighty to save. Right where you are, you can repent and believe He'll save you. If you need help, you come. If you're saved right where you are and you know your life has been sporadic in a Christian walk, you need to make it right with God, confess that right there. I'll be glad to pray with you if you wish, but right there, make it right with God. If you want to, come. But pray that God would search your heart and you would know what God would have you to do. Father, thank you for the day. Thank you for your word. Blessed are our hearts. Save the lost, strengthen the saved, and Lord, cause those of us who are your people to love you, to serve you, to follow you every day. Give us the grace to do it. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.